Happy Mother's Day, Bridgepoint. Really excited about today as we wrap up our Satisfaction Guaranteed series. And today's going to be really, really special because it being Mother's Day is such a unique opportunity for us to be able to celebrate some of the family that we call our church family. Today, you're going to hear from five of my friends and their journey and experience with Jesus as they're working through what it looks like to turn away from idols and turn back towards Jesus. And I'm confident that the truth that they're going to speak today will absolutely help you get closer to God. So get excited, Bridgepoint. Today's panel is going to be special. Happy Mother's Day. Enjoy this.
Hey, Bridgepoint, my name is Amy. Thank you so much for joining us today, wherever you're tuning in from. It is Mother's Day, and this is a day that we get to celebrate women, whether women that are moms, women that are not moms, because on a day like today, it is a joyous day for many people, for moms, for people that have great relationships with their moms. But for some people, it does bring some mixed emotions. Maybe today is a difficult day. So we take the opportunity at Bridgepoint to celebrate all women. And today, I am joined by an incredible group of women. I hope you find today's message to be both encouraging, challenging, and uplifting. Maddie, you serve on our worship team, and you also serve with our students. Can you tell us a little bit about how you serve with students?
Yeah, so my name's Maddie Wright. I serve with Bridgepoint on the worship team, and I also serve at BP Youth, which is a middle school and high school ministry, and I lead an amazing group of eighth grade girls.
Lori Davis, our executive pastor of campuses, his name is Scott. He gets to be married to you, and serve alongside of him. So this is a unique season because we're bringing on campus leadership. So you and Scott are serving multiple campuses right now. What do you love about the uniqueness of that season?
Yes, we are, Amy. We are so honored to be able to go around to the campuses to just meet different people. I'm a people person. I love meeting new people. So it's just been a joy to get to know other people, to see their heart, and then to watch them serve the Lord so faithfully, and just love on people that come into Bridgepoint. We have some amazing people that come to Bridgepoint, so we're just blessed that we get to do it with them.
So, De'Erica, you lead and serve at our downtown campus, and also with My Local, our young adults community. What do you love, and why do you think My Local is just such an important part of the Bridgepoint community?
Yeah, My Local, like Amy said, is the young adults community. And I remember moving here after college thinking I would have no friends and joining My Local and finding such intentional, genuine community that will challenge you but also love you. And it's been incredible being a part of that.
So Lori Schmidt, we have two Loris on the panel today. You've been a part of Bridgepoint for a long time, actually, even before you got married and had kids, right? And you're a part of our Seminole campus, getting ready to reopen that campus. What are you excited about, Bridgepoint and Seminole?
All the things I'm excited about, but the thing that I'm excited about right now is really just the prayer nights that we have on Wednesdays every night at 7, if anybody wants to come. We're just developing a community and fellowship, and the Holy Spirit is just hovering and just building something really cool in it. It'll be really neat to see that unfold just even week by week as it unfolds. So when we open and are able to just really invite the community in and love on them, what God's going to do through the Holy Spirit is going to be amazing. So it's cool to be a part of that.
Awesome. Well, today we get to wrap up the series that we've been in called Satisfaction Guaranteed. And it is a series that I have personally found to be very, very challenging in the idea that the world offers something that it just can't deliver. It's almost like the illustration that's been going through my mind is that carrot dangling on the end of a stick, and we just keep chasing it and chasing it, and we just end up chasing it and chasing it. And what happens is that we find ourselves very, very distracted. And we find ourselves distracted from the life maybe that God has for us because we've positioned these things above God. We've put these other things in the position where God should be. De'Erica, I want to start with you. How do you identify with that illustration? What have you seen in your life that relates to that?
Yeah, I love the illustration. It's so perfect. And I think for me in my life in this season of me being engaged, it's, I remember I, like a few days after I got engaged, everyone was like coming up to me and being like, are you ready? Are you ready to plan a whole wedding? And I'm like, am I ready? I'm like, 2 days after I got engaged, I already created like 10 Google Docs of everything I have to do, everything we have to get done. I love planning. I plan out my day. I plan out future plans, kind of have my summer planned out. And it's just the way I get to be more productive. But sometimes I do get tangled in my thoughts and kind of doze into this gaze of daydreaming. And sometimes I do find myself kind of telling myself, well, I can't wait until I'm in that season, because then I'll really start living. Or in my spirituality, I can't wait until I'm in that season, because then God will finally start using me. And a verse that comes to mind that has really helped me dealing with this is from 1 Corinthians 7, 17. It says, nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whichever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I laid down in all the churches. And here, Paul's like main principle is you can live for God where you are right now, no matter if you're married, no matter if you're single, if you're still a student, if you're divorced, a widow, whatever it is, God can use you in that season of life, and he wants to. And I know for me in my life, I constantly have to fight that idea of always wanting to live in that future season, in that next step. And it honestly sometimes has become an idol in my life. And I have found that it robs me from like the present joy that the Lord wants to do in my life during that season, during that time. And it's just kind of like a cycle, right? It's like, we're single and we want to be dating. We're dating. We want to be engaged. You're engaged. You want to get married. Married. You want to have kids. And it's just like this never ending cycle. And like you were saying, just you keep chasing it and it just never is satisfying. And another scripture that has really helped me through this, this idea comes from Psalms 73 verses 23 to 26. And it says, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I love here how the psalmist is just saying, like, God, you're my heavenly hope, but also my earthly desire. And as I was preparing for this panel, I was just kind of like, all right, God, like, what is the root of like why I keep chasing after things, or why I always want to live in the next season and the next stage of my life? And I realized a lot of times like the root is fear. And in life, we are constantly wanting to move from this place of fear into this place of freedom, joy, peace, love. And how you get there is through this road of faith through Jesus. And I think that in my life, when I have felt stuck, when I have felt like in that season of like, God, honestly, is there anything good in this season? Can we just like fast forward a little bit? Like, I'm kind of done with this. I've realized that my heart has been taken captive to the lies of someone or something that is not Jesus. And so I think that how we respond to this is posturing and surrendering our whole being to God and allowing God's presence to just completely invade our whole life. And just three things that I want to leave you guys with that has helped me not do this, not make this an idol, is starts with three R's. All three of them start with R's. It's reevaluate, redirect, and realize. So reevaluate. What are the things that are taking the time, the energy, the attention in your life? Redirect. Like Tyler has been saying in the past few weeks, sometimes idols don't have to be a bad thing. They're usually like a good thing that becomes a God thing. And so God wants us to have those desires. God wants us to have that dream job, that relationship. But it has to be in the place where it belongs, and that's below God. So we're redirecting all of that. And lastly, realizing that God wants to use you where you are right now. He's not waiting for you to have your dream job or for you to finally be in that relationship or be a parent or whatever that may look like. But he wants to use you right now, and he's doing something in your life right now and even equipping you for the next seasons to come.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Maddie, so as another young adult navigating, just a transitional season, maybe there's some things about your life, you know what's next. There's some other things about your life, you don't know what's next. You are navigating life as a follower of Jesus in my opinion, and maybe there's some others, one of the most difficult cultures to follow Jesus. This is not an easy culture that we live in to be a believer and follower of Jesus. How are you navigating that? What are some challenges? What are some things that you found to be helpful as you kind of navigate this season of your life?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's an important question. I grew up in a small town in Iowa, and in that town, there's not a lot to do, but there's kind of a pattern in the people around me, watching a lot of people that I looked up to go to college and find their person and, get a job that they seem to be content with and get married and start planning a family. So I think for my life growing up, I expected my life to align with that because that's what everyone else is doing. So for my life to look different, that was never a thought that crossed my mind. And it became super apparent the second I got to college that it was not my thing. And it kind of felt like from there, a lot of other things were falling out of place. And with that, I carried a lot of guilt and disappointment towards myself because I associated different as bad, different as wrong. And that was really difficult to navigate. And I was just constantly comparing myself to everyone around me. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, did I miss something? Are my expectations too high? And I'm someone who is a problem solver. So if I don't have any next steps, I feel very stuck. And it can be very debilitating. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way as well, just wanting some next steps and associating that with having peace. Like, oh, if I know where I'm going, then I'm going to have peace, And I remember a couple years ago, I read the verse Ecclesiastes 3:1, which says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under the heavens." And this verse is super important. It's something I continue to root myself in because the longer that I root myself in this verse, the more that I feel a lot of disappointment turn into hope and a lot of doubt turn into faith. And, my life, even though it's felt off track, I realize like when I do surrender my whole being to the Lord, my fears and the things that I'm scared of, the things that I want to cling to even, the more I surrender that to him, the more things start to make sense because I know I'm right where I'm supposed to be because the Lord is with me. And the Lord has these things that, I could never deal with on my own. And so knowing that he's at the center, I know that there is a next step, even if I can't see it. And, I look around at a lot of like the moms and women in my life and I look up to them a lot. And, I realize that they've probably gone through seasons too, where things have been challenging and where they can't see next steps. And when it's been hard and difficult. And I feel like through that, I'm just encouraged that life seems messy sometimes, but there is a plan because God sees the whole picture. So of course it's him who's going to put every detail into place as well. And I'm looking forward to what's next, but I know that there is a lot of purpose in where I am now. And so just rooting myself in that, remembering that, I think that has just really deepened my relationship with the Lord. And yeah.
Well, it's often in the seasons that we're in and the work that God's doing in us or we're allowing God to do in us is what's preparing us for our next. We actually can't be ready for our next until we have lived through and learned and allowed God to work in us in the season that, you know, we're in. We wouldn't be, you know, ready for that. Lori, speaking of expectations, you have a very busy house. You're married, you have three kids, three littles. Talk to me a little bit about like the expectations that moms, especially moms that are just in the trenches of motherhood, what do we do to ourselves and why? And what have you learned through some of that?
I mean, what don't we do to ourselves at this point? And I just have to say, being on stage with all these women up here, the wisdom that's coming from Maddie and Dierica at this younger, I mean, pouring into me, I'm like, oh, wow, if I had that wisdom at that age. And I meet with Lori on a regular basis to have her wisdom poured into me. Because one of the things that I struggle with and the temptation that I fall into is that my value is dependent upon my performance. And in each season, I've seen that kind of play out. And motherhood is no exception. It's probably magnified I have never experienced this intense of a refining process. You know, you always hear motherhood is hard work, but it's so much heart work, especially as we're talking about idols, the idols that I've erected or am striving to. So with me striving for this performance, that means my idols, two of my biggest idols are my identity and then success. So when I define myself as a mom, and this is my identity and this is what I find my worth in, then I need to be a successful mom. I need to be not just okay, like really, really good. I want everybody else to be like, that mom, like she has it together. Like, look at her kids. They are just amazing. And now my kids are awesome and they are amazing, but they're also human and they're also sinful. I'm human and I'm sinful. And this relationship in our household can sometimes be really messy. So I end up using, as we've gone through this idol time of idols and searching, God revealed to me that I use my children to serve my idol of success and identity. And that was like a heartbreaking reality, that not just that I sometimes have my children as my idols, but I'm using them to serve my idols of this success and this identity. And you know, I do believe that motherhood is this honor, and I set this high expectation on myself. And I also look at the world and you say, okay, so what does a successful mom in this season look like? So my now almost 10-year-old, when he was a baby, when you have a baby, success is your baby sleeps or so, you know, like, and I remember being pregnant and, you know, being in that season of looking forward to being a mom and just so excited and, you know, bright-eyed and sleep, you know, I had sleep, I had all those things. And reading the book, like baby wise, and nothing against the book, but I remember reading these books and feeling so prepared. I was going to do this. A plus B equals C. 1 + 1 = 2. Do this and do that and your baby sleeps. Do this and do that and your baby nurses. Do that. Like, fast forward to 2 months later and I am crying and broken on the nursery floor saying like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I'm just taken back to that moment saying like, why is this not working? I did A plus B and it's not C. And just in that moment, God, this was the first time he really spoke to me in motherhood saying, you know, where does my help come from? Lori, where does your help come from? It comes from the Lord. But I'm like the Israelites and I keep turning back to idols then. So I felt like, okay, I got it. And now in each season of motherhood and parenting, so there's the newborn stage and then the toddler stage and then the young little pre-K stage and then the boy stage I'm in with the boys is a little crazy. And my 2-year-old, and you've heard terrible twos, my 2-year-old's my easiest right now. So especially after COVID and especially after just this new season with my boys has been really challenging. COVID really broke me. You know, I had a 1-year-old who just started walking and homeschooling and a husband who still worked a lot. And I was just broken and it was so hard. And I felt such shame and guilt that I wasn't doing a good job. And so my identity is being a mom. And I'm a terrible mom. I had so much shame and so much guilt. And then I just wanted to escape. And you kind of swing into this mommy wine culture. Like, what can I escape from? And sometimes it's a glass of wine at night. Sometimes it's this awesome Netflix show that you stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning, or this book that maybe you should or shouldn't be reading, but things that were keeping me up late, scrolling on Instagram. And then I'm not going to bed until 1 o'clock at night. And I'm waking up depleted and deprived and not full of life, and then not wanting to go to the Lord because I feel so much shame that he's disappointed in me, that he's given me these blessings and I'm just dropping the ball. And then so I wasn't, for a season, I wasn't going to the Lord in the morning. I wasn't spending that time with him. And then one day I'm like, I don't even know where to start. You know, when you haven't been in the Word for so long, how do you get back into it? Like, how is he going to receive me? And so I opened my Bible and it was Psalms 119, 37. Turn your eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. That he wanted to give me life. And what did that look like? So just in those moments and that rebuilding of the relationship with him, just starting to turn back to him instead of, you know, when I wanted to pick up my phone and just ignore the fighting, just to say a prayer. When I wanted to, you know, whatever it was, just to turn to him. It could have been a prayer. It could have been a message. It could have been the word. And then he led in that time, he led me to in Matthew 7, when Jesus was baptized and he was baptized. And then there was the audible voice from the Lord, from the Lord God that said, this is my son whom I love and I am well pleased. And he said, Lori, that was before he died on the cross. That was before he performed any miracle. And that's, I love him because he's my son and I'm pleased and you're mine and I love you. And I never asked you to do any of this on my own. Remember back in the beginning, where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. It comes from me. So I'm not expecting you to do this on my own, on your own. So that's just kind of the journey of having to choose him over and over again and remaining in that sweet spot with him, that truth and love that comes from abiding and remaining in him. He remains faithful. So when I start to kind of swing to idolizing just myself as like, I have to do this and I have to be the best mom and setting all these expectations and getting frustrated when my children don't fit into these boxes, God has to remind me, I'm not the God of 1 + 1 = 2. I'm the God of A plus B times a million, put a apple pie in there and I parted the Red Sea. And so you can't fit me into a box. And I created your children in my image and you cannot fit them into a box either. And that's just when he gives me those truths, when I make the time to turn to him and not to the idols and not to the world. So, I mean, and I still don't get it right, but just he reminds me when I'm starting to swing to just being a burden and cope and going to my idols to idolizing my children and success and identity to just remain in him.
Thank you so much for sharing that and for your transparency. One of the biggest lies that our culture tells us about, especially about motherhood, is that parenting is, whether they're two or they're teenagers, is that parenting is just so difficult that we need these other things to cope with it. We need, you know, Amazon or Netflix or, you know, whatever. And that is such an evil lie. I get to parent, my husband and I get to parent two teenage girls. And I can't tell you how many times people told me before they became teenagers, oh, wait till they get to middle school. Oh, wait till they get to high school. And I mean, I'm their mom. And so, of course, I think they're wonderful, but they're wonderful. They're fantastic young women. And of course, it's challenging. But it is such an honor to get to be their mom. And it actually just makes me so mad sometimes that, you know, this culture tells us simultaneously that you have to look absolutely perfect on Instagram and at the same time you need all these other things to cope with it because it's just so difficult. And it is, it's a lie. And these children are God's and we're just trying to be good stewards of them, right? But we also at the same time, we have to put God in his proper position and he will give us all the wisdom and all the strength to guide our children and raise them up in the way they should go. Lori, you have an incredible journey. You have seen a lot of ups and downs in your faith journey and your journey as a wife and a mom. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So many years ago, before I had met my husband, Scott, I found myself as a single mom. single mother. I was very young. I had two young children and felt all that the pressures of being mom and dad, doing it all, you know, the responsibility of caring for these two human beings along with myself, you know, just trying to take care of myself and so forth. And I began to believe the lie that, you know, if anything's going to be, it's going to be up to me. You know, I've got to control everything. And I did. I felt like I was controlling every situation, especially when it came to my children. So, all the pressures of that led me into that breeding ground of independence, which we don't need to have independent. It's a good thing sometimes to have independence, you know, to be able to do things, but we need to depend on God to lead us. And so I felt like, okay, I'm going to have to be the one to, you know, get a job. I was a stay-at-home mom at the time. I had been home since my first child was born, did not have a job. So I was out getting a job. Then I'm, you know, working and then coming home, getting the kids and then cooking dinner and then taking them to their activities. And just feeling that pressure that I'm alone, even though I had a great support system. I have a wonderful family and my loved ones that would help when I needed help. I just felt like I was alone. I was doing this journey on my own. And I just remember feeling like I was yelling out loud, you know, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. And one day I remember God whispering in my ear, Lori, you can't do this on your own. You need me. So I just, of course, broke down at that moment. Started reading scripture and I had been saved. I was a Christian, but I wasn't walking with Jesus. I didn't have that relationship with him. He wasn't important in my life. I was busy. I was too busy. I was raising two children on my own. I was doing this and that, and I had to be somewhere all the time. And I was so tired physically and emotionally that I just knew I needed God. So I began to let him in and to soften my heart and just make me realize that, no, you need me. I need to help you through this journey. And I know that apart from Christ, I am nothing and I can do nothing, but in him, I am enough. And I can be who he wants me to be. So I love Isaiah 40, verse 29. It says, I give strength to the weary, and I increase power, the power to the weak. And I needed that so bad. So I leaned on that verse. I needed it in my life. So I just started to just worship him and dig into his word and pray and just surround myself with other believers. And I turned those worries into worship. And I just praised him for his glory, for his goodness in my life. I praised him for loving me. And I asked him for provision in my life and in my children's lives. And I asked for his peace and his presence and his power. And I knew that I could not do anything without it. So I was on my knees all the time, just asking God for his presence and provision. And he just started opening doors for me. I found an amazing job that allowed me to eventually save money to have a house built for the kids and I. And he was so faithful. God is faithful, y'all. He is so faithful. And he loves us so much. And so I just praised him all the time and worship him. I love to worship anyway. We worship downtown right now like on fire. We just love to praise God and give him glory for everything he's done in our lives. And I'm truly thankful for that he's done so much. He's brought me through so much fire and so much trials and tribulation. And I give him glory because I couldn't imagine where I would be today if it wasn't for me being on my knees and knowing and recognizing that I needed Jesus in my life, that I could not do the single motherhood without him. So he just really took care of us, started blessing us. And the more I gave him of my time and I gave him of my treasures, you know, I started tithing and I started just loving him so well, the more he blessed me and the children. And I was just overwhelmed with gratitude. I mean, there's so many times I could tell you, there were times where I didn't know how I was going to even pay a bill, you know, before I was able to have my finances. I didn't know what I was going to do. There would be a check in my mailbox. I didn't know where it came from. It would just be there and it would be enough of what I needed to pay. And God is good like that. I am so grateful for his goodness. I love Philippians 4, 12 and 13. Let me see. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. But I found the secret of being content in every situation. And I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. And I read that verse and I realize that Paul's talking about, I found content in every situation, not with every situation. So that's just trusting God. That's just trusting him with your life. And in every situation that you go through, it's just trusting him. So I love that. I love that verse. And I just now, as a mother of four grown children and seven grandchildren, I just pray that I can be a role model for my grandchildren, especially, and that they can watch how God can bless you and give you the joy you need to carry through life. Because there will, and I still struggle with certain situations, but I know God is there. He's present in my life. And I'm so thankful. And I just want them to see that in me and hopefully not go through so much struggle in their lives. So, yeah.
When we realize that God is the only thing that is worthy of our worship, the only thing that we can look to, the only thing in life that won't let us down. It's not a one-time decision. We can realize that. We can have like that moment, but it's actually something that we have to remember moment by moment, day by day, no matter what moment we're walking through, but no matter what season we're walking through as well. There's a scripture that's been hanging in the wall in my house. It's Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's hanging on my wall because I actually need to be reminded of it every day. Don't take delight in this, that, or this. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's definitely something that no matter what season of life you're in, it can be kind of a new lesson as you navigate through, because the temptations are always going to be there to not be present, to not look to God and appreciate his blessings, to be a little bit uncertain about what God has next. So I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for speaking into this series and helping us to wrap it up. I am so grateful for your voices and for your perspective. So before I close us out, I'm just going to pray for us. Father, thank you so much for sending us Jesus, for him living among us and dying a death that he didn't deserve, so that we could know life, peace, freedom. Would you remind us every day, every moment, if it's necessary, that you, God, are what we put our worship, are what we direct our worship to, that you, God, are worthy. You are the only thing that we really, really can trust in this world. Your faithfulness, your goodness. Thank you, God, that you are with us, that you go before us. Thank you for Jesus, the incredible gift that you gave us in him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.